All right, Shoreline, how we doing? Am I on? Good. All righty, how we doing, y'all? Great. Awesome. Well, I want to say welcome. If you're new here, if it's your first time, my name is Jermaine Harrison. It's good to be with y'all. JK. No, my name's Austin. Awesome. Well, I'm going to figure out how to get this up real quick. I'm tall. Awesome, y'all. Well, we're going to be continuing our series entitled Reputation, which is just simply what others believe is should be true about you. And so if I were to ask your closest family or friends what he or she is like, their response to that would be your reputation. And specifically, we've been talking about just the reputation of a believer and the characteristics that should mark every one of y'all who are walking in Christ and in submission to him. And so 2 weeks ago, Jermaine talked about how patience is the result of leaving the results up to God. And we really get that from our theme verse, which is Galatians 5:22, verse 23, which just says, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these. So tonight I'm going to be talking about kindness and how we can define that in our own lives. And so a little bit about me is I grew up going to camp, and then when I got to college, I started working at camp. And one of the roles on staff when I was at camp was to set up these theme parties where we'd have these campers come out and participate in this event, and we love to do it. I know it took a ton of time to set it up. And so one of these nights was this two-stepping party. Now, this was going to be a blowout party. We were going to throw lights, music, decorations, everything. We're going to line the field with these cars and shine their headlights in, kind of like the Remember the Titans scene. And the party was like clear across camp. And so I knew I had to get there early to set up. But I was running really, really late. And so I throw all these supplies in this van. It's the 16-passenger van. So we get you a picture of this. It's a 16-passenger van. Well, don't throw that picture up on yet. You're gonna ruin my story here. Oh, man. Again, so it's a 16-passenger van, and so I'm cruising down because I know I'm late, and I'm flying down this road, and I'm like, there's got to be a faster way. There's got to be a faster way to get there. And so I look to my left, and there is this ditch and then this massive hill that I thought in my mind, man, if I get enough speed, I could get across this ditch and ramp this van up this hill, over this ditch, like launch my van 10 feet in the air like it's magic school bus and just like into the air and take off, and I'm going to land safely on the other side, right? Like, great idea, perfect idea. This is why girls live longer than guys, because we have ideas like this. And I take off, and so I'm like, all right, I'm going to do it. And so I lay on the gas, I shoot this van up this hill, and I didn't even make it a single foot before this van got stuck in this ditch. It got caught in there, and I looked like such a scrub just sitting there. And I'm like, okay, what do I do? I've messed up. I've wrecked this 16-passenger van on the side of the road. And so in my mind, the only mature, wise thing to do at that point is just to flee the scene of the accident, right? You've got to run, correct? If you've seen any episode of Cops, you know that's just a terrible idea because you're going to get tackled. But I take off running, and I'm running, and I get stopped really quickly. And this guy's like, hey, stop. I think I can help you. And so I'm just sitting there and just shaking my head. I don't know what to do. And he's like, all right, I'm going to stay there. I'm going to go get some help. And so he goes, and I'm thinking he's going to bring back this massive tow truck. Like, he's going to bring back this van or this big car that can yank my this van out of this ditch or something massive to help me, something powerful enough to take this van out of this ditch. He comes back, he parks his car next to this van, and he gets out and he grabs this tiny pole, literally this steel pole. He hands it to me, he says, hey, try this. And so here's a picture of it. I know we already showed it. There's me trying to wedge this pole under this car because it's literally stuck in the ground. And I wedge it out, and literally in a matter of 5 seconds, the van just rolls back and onto the hill, and I'm safe. I'm rescued from this situation. So this small tool had just a huge impact on my situation because I didn't think it would be effective. And so the reason I tell you that story is because I think we view the quality of kindness in a similar way. Like we view it as this small, ineffective tool that's really incapable of having a significant impact on people's lives. Like we think power and aggression are what's going to make a difference. In reality, we think kindness is like niceness, like just being nice. Like I'm just going to be friendly. I'm just going to be, you know, a good person. I'm just going to smile. I'm going to be polite. And so we've really just overlooked what kindness really is. And the Bible has a ton to say about what kindness looks like, that it's not just this civil courtesy, that it's a biblical command. That it's a biblical command that we're going to explore tonight in the minutes that we have to talk about what that looks like in your own life. And so kindness is this powerful tool that can make a meaningful difference. Kindness is this powerful tool that can make a meaningful difference. And I want to tell you guys how if you guys can mark yourself with this quality, it's not only going to change your life, it's going to change the lives of the people around you. It's going to make you more faithful follower of Christ. And so let's learn what God has to say about kindness, because there's a lot to it. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Micah 6. Micah 6. And while you're getting there, I'm going to explain, really just set the stage for where we're going to be at. So Micah was this prophet who really speaks on behalf of God. And he's going to be telling these Israelites who have walked in disobedience since the beginning of time. They haven't done what God intended them to do. And they're walking in disobedience. And so the Israelites are like, man, God, we want to earn our favor back to you. Like, what can we do to somehow offer gifts or offer our ability to try to earn our favor back to you? And so they ask all these questions. And so in verse 7, Micah 6, verse 7, they start asking God all these questions. They say, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Basically, I want to offer my firstborn child because I want to please God. That's what they're asking in this situation. So their minds immediately jump into this religious activity, or they jump into what they can do to earn God's favor back. And God, in verse 8, is going to offer a completely different solution. It's only a few words, but it's loaded with meaning. So go to verse 8 real quick. He says, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require but of you, but to do justice and to love kindness. To do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with a God. So this is a threefold response where God is just basically summarizing the lifestyle of a Christian and the mission statement he's called us to live on. That Israelites had offered everything except the one thing that God truly wanted, which was our heart. Like he didn't want our behavior, he wanted our heart. He's after our heart. And from a changed heart comes the ability to love kindness. Like when we change our heart, when we love God, which is our first call, then from that comes this ability to love what he loves, which is kindness, because he's a God of kindness. And so we're called to be passionately committed to it. And God is saying this must define our life. So what is the definition of kindness? The kindness is simply an action that demonstrates the character of God. Kindness is simply an action that demonstrates the character of God. So we're called to offer kindness to everyone, regardless of who they are, regardless of what they've done, regardless of the situation you're in. And I know, man, this is really hard. Like, this is so hard because we live in a culture where people will frustrate you, people will let you down, people will make fun of you and be really irritating, and it can be really hard, man, to make kindness constant in your life. Which leads me to my first point, that kindness is just not judgmental. That our natural inclination is just to be kind to those who treat us well, or kind to those who have something to offer us, who we can relate to. And so kindness becomes transactional. Like, you do something kind for me, I'm going to do something kind in return. You help me, I'm going to help you in return. It just becomes, you do something good, I'll do it for you in return. And so we overlook really that stranger or that irritating person or that person that is the outcast of our close friend group, because we only want to be kind to people we know. And the fact is that everyone sitting in this room, you are sitting here because the ultimate act of kindness was done on your behalf. That God, in his own kindness, demonstrated his love for you that while we were still sinners, that while we were rebellious and gone astray, and why we wanted to do our own thing, God demonstrated his love, that he showed you the ultimate act of kindness, that our sins separated us from God, that God is perfect and we are not, that we can't do enough good works to get to God. But God said, hey, I'm going to prove to you my kindness by sending you my son to do the work on your behalf that you can't do it yourself. And he's going to show us his kindness. And so if you're sitting there wondering, hey, is God truly kind? Man, he's already proven that love by sending his son. And he's kind to you. And he wants everyone to have a relationship with him. And so his kindness isn't like, I'm going to show it to you and not to you. Or I'm going to show it to you, this person over here who has more ability than this one. He offers kindness to everyone. He doesn't discriminate. Like there's no picking and choosing in God's kindness. It's offered to everyone. And so unfortunately, we don't associate kindness, the word kindness, with a Christian sometimes. Man, you've probably heard that phrase, is that people will trust the Christian before they trust Christ. People will trust the Christian before they trust Christ, which is true. But one of the primary reasons that people don't trust Christ is because they don't see kind believers. That they see believers as being judgmental, or they see them as being prideful or legalistic. They don't see them as being kind. And kindness has to be constant in our lives. It can't just be conditional based on what people could do for us, because God didn't choose us based on what we could do for him. All right, kindness has to be constant. And so Jesus' final teaching in Matthew explains how we should do this. All right, Matthew 25, verse 40. It's going to be on the screen. I'll read it out. And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. As you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. So God is paying close attention to how we're treating people that are burden, the people are struggling, the people that are irritating. He's paying close attention. He's saying, hey, your love for me is demonstrated in how you love people that are hard to love. Like, that is how you demonstrate your love for me. It's how you love people that are far off, that are hard to love. That is how you demonstrate the kindness of God. And it can be really hard because we like to only show kindness to people who can do things for us. And so I would say right here, Jesus is saying the way we treat people who can do nothing for us is a sign of a healthy heart. Like, that is a good thing to run through your brain, that the way we treat people who can do nothing for us is a sign that, man, I have a healthy heart that is aligned with God's intention for my life. So I'm going to ask you guys a question. Like, how are you doing in that area? Are you only engaging with those people that might be part of the cool circle where you can hang out and it'll make you look better or build your reputation? Are you only serving people that you know you can get something from? You know, you're only going to that friend you know has a lake house for the 4th of July and you're like, hey, I'm going to be really nice to this guy because he's going to take me to watch fireworks. Or you being nice to everyone. We've all done that before. We've all done that before. Are you being nice to everyone? So we return. Who wants to Camp Barnabas? We got a good group. Great. Love it. Awesome. So we just got back and, man, we served our tails off and it was incredible. It was incredible. And I got to touch base with a lot of you guys and ask you how your experience was, but we got to serve people that really could not do a whole lot for us in the perspective of the world. Like, they were bound to a wheelchair, they were had physical disability, and from the outside perspective, man, they didn't have a ton to offer. And I asked y'all, and I said, hey, how was your experience? And most of y'all are like, man, that was the best week of my life. Like, I had a blast. And that was because you were walking in God's intended purpose for your life, that you weren't showing kindness based on appearance or being judgmental, that you weren't discriminating or favoring someone based on what they could do for you, but you were showing kindness based on God's kindness to you, and that was overflowing from your heart. And you were loving them because you know you've been first loved by God. This is really the litmus test for God's kindness, like if we're showing godly kindness. So I'm going to throw this question on the screen. And I think you need to write, you just need to get out of your journal and write this down, because, man, this is something that will speak to you if you're not really demonstrating godly kindness. It's just, am I only kind to those who have something to offer me? Like, ask yourself that. Am I only kind to those who have something to offer me? And I love this quote by Bob Goff that just says, I've spent my whole life avoiding the people that Jesus spent his whole life engaging. Like, that is a crazy thing. Like, Jesus spent his whole life engaging the people that could literally do nothing for him. Like, he was perfect. He doesn't need anything else. He was perfect. But he spent his time investing in people that could do nothing for him. The people that were outcasts of society. The people that were irritating at times. That he engaged those people specifically. And he didn't just talk about them. He talked to them. And so, man, if you guys are in your hallways at school and you're walking down and you're with a friend and you see that person who walks by you and you know, man, they're probably just dressed differently than I am, or they look differently, they're acting differently than I am. And your first instinct is then just to look to your friend and start talking about them. Your first instinct is just to start whispering and gossiping about them. Man, that is a problem. Like, our first instinct should be to go engage with them, to talk to them, to have a conversation with them. Because the people you would talk about are the ones that you guys should talk to. The people that you're typically prone to be like, man, did you see that girl? Did you see that guy? Did you see what he's wearing? Like, did you see what he's doing? Like, that is an opportunity not to whisper or to gossip, but to pursue them and go after them and engage with them and show them the kindness that you've been demonstrated. And so God's desire is for kindness to be constant in our lives. And it's not limited to when we feel like it. And it's not just random. It's not just, you know, when it makes us feel good. It's a regular activity. Kindness is regular and not random. And so I'm sure you guys have heard this cliche. We hear it all the time, but it's just like random acts of kindness. You've all heard that, correct? Like, show random acts of kindness. Like, yeah, go feel good about yourself. Do these acts and make people feel good, which is not necessarily a bad thing. That these things are, unfortunately, they're infrequent. It's like buying the person's coffee in the line behind you, or holding their door, or walking the sweet old lady across the street. Those are random acts of kindness. And so, however, guys, like, biblical kindness is completely different than that. Like, biblical kindness is not just holding a door for someone, it's holding a conversation with them. Like, it's using that opportunity to talk to them about the kindness of God. Like, it's using opportunities to talk to people about his kindness. And so it's not random, it's regular, it's an intentional act. It has conviction that if we're a follower of Christ and we believe in Jesus, that every act we take is an act of kindness. It's not random, it's intentional, it's deliberate. And so you all have people in your school, I know you do, that are, you know, asking themselves questions internally, like, man, if people even knew this about me, you even might be sitting in the audience and I'd be asking yourself that question. If people even knew, or, man, is this even worth it anymore? And the kindness that you can show that person, if you can go to them and love them and not just talk about them, can change the trajectory, really, of their life. And Paul talks about this in Colossians 3:12. I'll throw on the screen. It just says, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And so Paul's using this clothing metaphor just to describe the characteristics we should wear. So just like you guys put on, you know, your Lulu shorts and your Nike shirt and you get ready for school, you guys should put on the attitude of kindness. That's what he's saying. And not only should you put it on, you should wear it every day. This should be a part of your daily wardrobe. Like, I know you guys who go to private school, you got to wear that same thing every day and it gets super old after a while. But God's saying, man, you got to wear the same thing every day. And it's kindness. And you got to wear it and love it and enjoy being a part of what that could look like. And so there's a story that I want to share with you guys that really demonstrates what I'm talking about. So it's a video. I'm going to throw it on the screen, and it just talks about the kindness of God.
Norman Rockwell meets a Grey's Anatomy cliffhanger, a tiny town, a heart attack, and all the people who streamed out to keep pumping and pumping and pumping. Dan Harris explains.
It was just another cold winter's evening in tiny, remote Goodhue, Minnesota, where they don't even have a traffic light. Then something unusual, a 911 call.
911, what's the emergency?
We're at Don's Foods in Goodhue, and the guy just fell.
A man named Howard Snitzer had hit the ground with a massive heart attack. The only customer in the grocery store at the time, Candace Kane, started first aid. And then from across the street, Roy and Al Lodemeyer of Roy and Al's Auto Service rushed over.
He was in trouble.
They began taking turns performing CPR, switching at the point of pure exhaustion without missing a beat. And as news spread, their number grew. A pair of IBM employees handing it off to a plumber, who handed it off to a carpenter, who handed it off to a county employee. In total, 24 pairs of hands.
We just lined up, and one guy had enough. Next guy jumped in.
Amazingly, none of these people had any idea who Howard Snitzer was. The paramedics arrived to an astonishing scene.
It was unbelievable. There were probably 20 in line waiting for their turn to do CPR.
This lasted for 96 minutes until Howard's pulse started, and then they transported him to the hospital.
We've got 4 skulls on board.
10 days later, he walked out of the Mayo Clinic miraculously healthy and incredibly grateful.
I happened to have a king-size heart attack in the right place at the right time. And these guys would not give up.
The other night, a reunion between all those people who wouldn't give up.
I've been waiting for this moment.
And this man who is now no longer a stranger. Dan Harris, ABC News.
Awesome. Well, the best part about that video, the guy's last name is Snitzer. It's a great name, Snitzer. But this is a great example of what I'm talking about, like kindness is powerful, and it can have an extreme impact on someone's life. Like this guy, he was rescued from the act of CPR. He was rescued from that. And then it didn't just change his life. Man, it changed how he lived. And I love this quote that he said when asked about the kindness that he'd been shown. He says, "I feel like I have the responsibility to them to live the best possible life and honor the effort they made." And that's what happens when this godly virtue is put into practice. Like, it not only rescues people from sin, man, but it changes how other people live, and it changes how we live. And this is how it operates. And so the only thing that the volunteers didn't do and they failed to do is, man, they demonstrated kindness. They showed it, but unfortunately, they didn't explain why they showed it. They didn't explain the reason behind it. And that leads me to my next point, is that kindness is defined, not demonstrated. That we have to define kindness in the lives of other people, that when we're kind towards people, man, that's an opportunity to talk to someone about the kindness of God. That's an opportunity to engage with them. And we have to explain the motives behind our actions. And so there's this famous quote out there that I'm sure you guys have heard. It just says, preach the gospel, but when necessary, use words. Have you all heard that quote? Yeah, it's a quote that you've probably heard or you're hearing it now for the first time. But it's basically saying, we should live godly lives. We should live a life that's honoring to God. And every action we should take should be an act of kindness. But it doesn't say that we define it. Like, godly kindness means that we should define it. The problem with that quote is that we don't actually, it's not saying we explain the gospel to people, man. We have to explain it. In order for the kindness of God to be properly defined, we have to use acts of kindness and then explain it to other people. We can't, our actions just aren't enough. We have to explain our motives behind them. And so if you've lived in Dallas or you lived in a city area, you might have been engaged by a homeless person at one time. And I know I have. And I know they'll ask me, I'll start talking to them, and I'll offer to buy them a meal or a drink or something. And I'll come back and I'll give them the meal, and I always use that act of kindness and I talk about it. And I always define what I've done by saying, I hope that just my kindness just illustrates the kindness of God to you in your life. And that they can clearly hear me articulate that in my life. That when we explain that our actions, they have meaning behind them. It's not enough just to be, you know, a good citizen and just hand over someone a nice meal, which is great. But we have to explain the motive behind it, which is Jesus. And he is the one who can produce life change. And so this is going to lead me to my last point. Hang with me, guys. That kindness is going to take a tremendous amount of courage. It will. It will. It's not just being nice. It takes courage. It takes courage. And so kindness is courageous, not complacent. Kindness is courageous, not complacent. You throw that on the screen when you get a chance. That this comes from Psalm 145, or 141:5, which says, let a righteous man strike me, it is a kindness. Let him rebuke me, it is oil for my head. Let my head not refuse it, and my prayers continually against their evil deeds. So this verse is saying that if we have, man, a person in our life that's struggling in sin, the kindest thing we can do is inform them of their behavior. If they're participating in behavior that is destructive to themselves, if you guys have friends that are participating in behavior that is destroying or hurting them, the kindest thing that you can do, man, is tell them that, is to tell them that, to engage with them and tell them that. Because one of the greatest provisions you guys have been given is community. Like, God did not operate us and create us to be alone. That God created us to be in relationship with one another. That's why we believe in small group. So we believe in small group, because life change happens in the context of community, of a small group. And we all need people pointing us to Jesus and telling us areas where we need to grow and develop as Christ followers. And so when I was a junior in college, I literally had this outbreak of a skin infection all over my body. It was I can't even describe how disgusting this thing was. Like, I literally had boils all over my body. They were oozing like stuff from them. It was disgusting. And so to give you guys a picture, what I got, I had a staph infection on my foot. I had athlete's foot. Like, that doesn't even make sense. I had athlete's foot. And then I had poison ivy. Like, I experienced the wrath of God on my skin at one point in my life. And to give you more of a picture, I played basketball at the time, and I somehow went hiking one weekend, and then I got a staph infection on my foot. So that's how it all plays together. But I was in serious pain. And so I was like, man, I need to get some medicine. I need to get that ointment on my skin fast, or I'm going to die. And so I immediately go to the doctor. I'm like, all right, I need some help. The doctor, the kindest thing he did was diagnose my problem. He told me, man, he gave me the prescription for my pain and helped me. But I was just thinking about, man, what if he just said, you're good, man, just sleep it off. Just sleep it off, get some rest. Or he just sat back and didn't even say anything. Man, that would destroy me. I could be seriously injured. But the kindest thing the doctor did was to tell me where I was hurting and to give me the remedy for my pain. And so that situation is similar to you guys in your small groups. Like, you guys have people in your small groups who are struggling, man, who are walking in a destructive habit, that are hurting. And the kindest thing that you can do, and this might be fearful, and it can be fearful at times, I know it is for me, but we're not called to be nice, we're called to be kind, and that means that we take action, and we tell people where their pain or where they're hurting themselves in, and we love them and show them the kindness of God. Because we know God, man, he met us where we're at, that he met us where we're at, but he loves us enough to not make us stay there, that we can continue to grow into his image and be image bearers for him. And so I wanna ask you guys, man, how are you doing at showing kindness to people in your small group? Maybe it's a girl or a guy that you know is walking in serious sin. Maybe it's an unhealthy relationship or modesty or pornography or drinking or even complacency. Are you being the prophet in their life like Micah was? Or are you just sitting back and affirming their choices and not giving them the medicine they need? Like, that is what you're called to do. And so this is an opportunity to speak about the kindness of God. So I'm gonna close with two questions. Hang with me. Two questions right here. I'm gonna throw them on the screen. What is God telling you to do? These two questions, man, always convict my heart when I hear something, because I know that God's kindness demands a response in our life. So ask God to open your eyes to reality of those hurting around you. Ask God to open your eyes to the reality of those hurting around you, because there are so many people around you, even in this room, that are hurting, and they need the kindness of God. So ask God to do that and assume it's your job and your responsibility to go love them and to show kindness. And then lastly is, what's God telling you to do, and then what are you gonna do about it? Like, it's not enough that we feel sorry for someone. Like, it's good to feel compassion. It's good to feel pity. It's good to feel sorry for people in our life. But we serve a God, Jesus, man, he came to this earth that God said, man, I love you so much that I'm gonna give you my son. That his compassion was followed by an action. And that's how our love and kindness should be done. That we shouldn't just see the hurt and pain, that should cause us to move towards people. That we shouldn't just move towards our friend and start talking about the person that's maybe awkward, or that person that's, you know, outside our friend circle, that we should go engage that one person and show them the kindness of God. So what is God telling you to do, and what are you going to do about it? And I pray that our kindness leads us to action, and that kindness is really love in action, that it takes action and that it is courageous. And so I'm going to pray for us real quick, and I'm going to give us a couple announcements, so sit tight. All right, Lord, thank you that your kindness drove you to action, that you love us so much that you sent your son and that you gave to us your son, that we didn't have to do it on our own behalf because we aren't good enough, but you are, and you love us, and your kindness doesn't discriminate based on our actions, but you offer your kindness to everyone. We just simply have to confess our need for you. So I pray that if there's anyone in here that is struggling to understand the kindness of you, man, that their heart would be transformed by just knowing that you love them and that you're crazy about them and you want to have a relationship with them. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.